interrupt your program to bring you this important podcast. How to 911.
Can you put me out of service on a podcast, please?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Welcome back to another episode of How to 911. I'm Sammy.
America.
And today's a little bit of a different PSA. Mm-hmm. We thought of some really cool things to talk about, but then realized that they don't really have enough information, or we don't have enough to like talk about it to like make one episode about it. So we have compiled a list of pretty much everything you can think of, and we're going to go over it. Yeah. So this is just the nonsense episode where it's like the filler episode, you know, that like we have low budgets, but we need a filler episode, so we're just going to do some random stuff in here. You know, like how TV shows do that?
I didn't know they did that, but they do. This is really interesting.
First thing I want to talk about is emergency vehicle lights. As we've said before, it's not just so they can go to where they need to fast. It's also so that drivers are aware that they're going somewhere fast. And so it's for our first responder safety, and it's also for driver safety around. Like, yeah. The lights and sirens are there to make people aware that they're driving isn't consistent with like the speeds. Mm-hmm. They might be weaving in and out of traffic depending on who's paying attention and who's not, which is unsafe for them, but unfortunately, that's what they have to do if drivers don't understand the law, which, by the way, the law is to go to the right. Mm-hmm. If there's an emergency vehicle, if you're stopped at a stoplight, it's like different rules. Like, you can't always go to the right. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want you to drive into the median into right. oncoming traffic. So I mean, if you're wondering about those rules, give us an email and I'll look more into that, because I didn't think about looking into that until I'm talking about it right now. But either way, they're just trying to get there as safe as possible. And even if they're parked on the side of the road, they keep their lights on for the traffic that can see them. So if it's like on the highway, since it's a split median, they'll keep their lights on in the back of them so the vehicles coming up to them will see them. And even with these lights, people still get injured, not just first responders, but also pedestrians, because people aren't paying attention to the lights. Mm-hmm. Like, even with the lights on, we know of troopers that still get hit by cars. Mm-hmm. Their vehicles will get hit by cars because of whatever. But it's not just there to look fun.
Right.
It's for a reason.
Right. And thinking about, like, the sirens and thinking about it, what we're talking about, when emergency vehicles go through intersections, as they're approaching, they're able to have the lights switch for them, so it makes it a little bit safer.
Yeah.
So you might be at a red light, and then here comes an ambulance, and their lights are able to switch it to green so that they can go through without kind of like pausing through the intersection. So if they're running with lights and sirens, or at least the sirens, you can hear and be like, wait, why did I get a red light so quickly?
Yeah.
And it had just changed.
Right.
It's because an emergency vehicle is coming through.
Right, which I know it's not like that for every city.
Right.
My last agency, they didn't have that trick with the light switching, so you kind of had to figure out how to, like, ambulances would go into the turn lane if mm-hmm. it's open to, like, get around and stuff like that. So they have their own rules of what to do, but for the most part, the lights are there so that you pay attention to them and get out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've had people, or at least one person, call once, and it was in the middle of the night, and they had their lights on, and it was reflecting in their room, and they wanted me to have them turn off their lights.
Oh.
Another circumstance of which, like, it's not there to annoy you, and right. it's not there to disturb what you're doing or trying to sleep. Like, it's there so that, like, if they were on the road, like, if they don't get hit, like, if it's dark and there's no lights to bring you aware that something's going on, like, people get hit, people get hurt, even if it's in a residential area, like, it's for a reason. It's not to just right. disturb you.
Right. And thinking about if you were the person needing help, if it was your family member.
Mm-hmm. You would want those on so that other people were aware.
Right.
Yeah. Of what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
That brings me into something kind of similar is, especially out, I think we have this situation, or I guess issue sometimes out in the county for like medical and fire calls of like house numbers not being visible, because mm-hmm. a lot of those houses are off the road a lot, which quickly I'm going to derail for a second. This was brought up as a topic idea from one of our listeners, so thank you so much. I'm not gonna say their name just because I don't know if they are okay with that or not, but we definitely appreciate the feedback. And
yes.
I mean, that's a good point. Like, as I was saying, like, it's hard to tell, like, you know where you live, so why do you need your house number on your house?
Right.
It's for emergency vehicles, mm-hmm. or like the pizza delivery dude, mm-hmm. like anybody's trying to look for your house. So like, you have to have that visible. You have to have that, if your house is back a little bit, have it on a mailbox, mm-hmm. on both sides of the mailbox, so that mm-hmm. they can see it coming from either direction, and it's reflective so that at night they can see it. So I mean, we have a lot of issues with that. It's like, oh well, the street goes from this house address to this house address, but we can see on our map that there's a house in between the two. They just can't see that there's a house in between the two because it's not labeled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, hi, I'm here. Also, same thing with like trailers. So if you're in a mobile home park, you make sure your trailer is labeled correctly. And if you change or like move somewhere, that you adjust those numbers mm-hmm. accordingly to the new numbers. It just, again, like, I would hate to take those extra 5 seconds to try to get more information about how they can get to your house when you can ease everybody's stress levels by giving us
yes
that
clearly marked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then next is calling for a family member or a friend when you're out of state or just out of the city or just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Just like kind of third party information. If you're out of the state and you're calling us, it's going to be on the non-emergent line because that's not going to transfer from state to state.
Right.
So if it's an emergency, you have to remember to tell us it's an emergency so that we stay on the line. So if your friend's suicidal or something like that, if you call in 911 for, say you're in Colorado and you need to be transferred to Chicago, we can't do that. So we'll probably give you the non-emergent line for Chicago. So remember that. If it's a different city, as long as you're within Colorado, we can transfer you to Colorado Springs or whatever. However, it would just be faster if you looked up that phone number yourself and cut out the third party, because then we still have to look up the phone number and stuff like that. So, do you have anything you want to say?
No, just that. So, yes, I guess I do. No, but.
No, but. Yes, but.
If you're calling for someone in another city and you call us, we're going to be doing the same thing that you're doing probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably be Googling it, especially if it's out of state.
Right.
So you can certainly do that. I understand the need, like if your friend needs help, to call 911, because that makes sense because you need help and it's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But just keeping in mind, we can't do across state lines.
Yeah. And then also, though third-party information is appreciated because not all victims call in for themselves,
right,
given the circumstances, it's also not always the best just because you may not know your friend's address. You're mm-hmm. going to say, I know they live on this street, mm-hmm. but like that street might be 4 miles long. And it's like, you might know your friend's name, but if their name's John Smith and we try to find an address for them, like, finding an address is going to be hard because it's a common name, you know,
right.
Like if you don't know your friend's date of birth and we can't look up a driver's license to try to find an address, like it's all these situations where
yeah.
we have to go through. Like if you can get their address, if you can get their location, like the more information you have to better help us find them, the more easily it is for us to find them. And not that it's too out of our way to find that information, because we're more than happy to do that if you absolutely cannot have that information, but just save your friends' addresses in your phones.
I was totally thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have one friend that lives way out in the middle of nowhere, and I couldn't even, like, describe how to get there.
Right.
So.
It's like, I know you don't go down this road, and then a couple blocks you turn left, and it's like this yellow house on the right,
right.
And it's like, ugh.
It's like, there are power lines and antelope.
And just go to the antelope.
Right.
That will give you directions. So my thought process, and if you want me to take this out, I will, is if they're able to call you or text you to tell you what's going on in the situation, you should tell them to call or text 911 so we can get the most accurate information and the most accurate location. I think it's more so that, as we talked about in previous episodes, like if you aren't there, you don't really know what's going on.
Right.
And how are you supposed to know if there's weapons there?
Right.
You know, how are you supposed to know who all is involved? How are you supposed to know anything? You're not there.
Yeah.
Again, I'll take third-party information over no information if somebody's in danger. So it's appreciated. It's just, like, trying to get the fuel to help us.
Right. And I agree with that in most instances, but if there's, let's say your friend is in a domestic violence situation and they're only able to call, mm-hmm. you know, the friend, and that's as, and we're like, oh no, call 911. Like, yeah, for sure, you're not going to be like, hold on, best friend, hello, 911.
Right.
I'm in this situation. So if you're doing it to keep yourself safe, then that's it. You're, you know, stay safe and do that. Keeping in mind that if you're in Loveland, Larimer County, Weld, Boulder County, you can text 911.
Yeah. So it's a fabulous resource, especially if you're in that position in which you can't talk freely.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're correct. Like, if it's a safety issue and you can only talk to a friend, like I said, again, like,
yeah.
We are so happy to get somebody sent to check on your friend. Doesn't matter third party, fourth party information. We'll get somebody to go check it out. So
yeah.
It's just preferred.
Yeah.
Based on information.
Yeah. I've had people call and be like, hey, my friend lost her wallet and I just want to know, like, the procedure. It's like, okay.
What?
here's the procedure, but also have your friend call me because I need to ask them questions.
Right. And then also saying, like, oh, well, my friend's at work and their license plate got stolen off their vehicle. Like, that's something that literally a police officer cannot take your statement right. based off of that, because you are not the victim of this crime.
Right.
Whoever the owner of that vehicle is has to be the one to report it. So there's circumstances in which you cannot be the person involved. Like, you can call and, like, we can get the process started, but, like, it's not going to get finished. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So if it's not a life or death situation, just have your friend, if they're going through it.
Yes.
Have them call it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm done. next rant is asking for information. This is a good lead, like,
yeah,
segue. Mm-hmm. So we can't give warrant information over the phone. That is, I would think, be a very good thing.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, if anyone calls and just be like, oh, does so-and-so have a warrant? Be like, yeah. 500 warrants, and this is what they're for. And it's like, then we're giving information to the public that, like, maybe the public doesn't need to know. And
right.
like, who knows what that person wants to do with that information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they trying to scam you, trying mm-hmm. to blackmail you? So, like, these mm-hmm. things. So it's like, we don't do that.
Yeah.
If you have questions about if you have warrants or if somebody you know has warrants, you can call the court or you can come to the police department with an ID.
There you go.
We also can't give driver's license statuses over the phone. Another same exact thing. I don't know who you are. I don't mm-hmm. know what you want to do with this information. I'm sure you are who you say you are. I'd like to believe that everybody is honest, but we just don't want to take that chance because it is over the phone.
Right.
So call the DMV if you want yeah. to know what's going on with your driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a pretty big situation that's going on, such as a car accident that's been a couple of hours because it was a really bad accident, they're having to get tows and clean up the fuel that's spilled and all these things. But calling us to find out when it's going to be over, I don't know when it's going to be over.
Right.
I have no idea. Whenever right. it's over, that's when it's going to be over. Or calling us to try to figure out what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I know that they're there for a car accident.
Right.
Yeah. So, and also if we did know what was going on, sometimes it's confidential information.
Right.
And that's something that has to go through our public information officer. And then they will do a media release if it's a large enough incident in which one needs to be released. We don't do a media release for every single incident. If that was the case, I don't think anybody would see anything on the news, on your Facebook feed, because it'd just be Loveland Police Department media release.
Yep.
But it's just, like, one of those things you have to think about. Is it pertinent to me in my life? Or is it just an annoyance that I'm sitting in traffic for an extra 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I understand it's annoying, and I understand that it's frustrating to be in that situation. However, we could just let the streets go free with fuel and gasoline, and then it's might injure people, your car might catch on fire. Like, we're really not doing you a service by just cleaning up the or not even cleaning up the roads, just opening the roads for you, you know, because it's convenient.
Right.
Another thing that people have called in about is if there's some kind of police activity in the area. If you're in danger in any way, shape, or form, an officer will come to your door and tell you to evacuate, or there will be a reverse 911 activation.
Which is?
Everbridge.
Everbridge.
Yes.
Reverse 911 is?
The generic term.
No, it's the like default term, because there is a company called Reverse 911.
Oh.
Yeah. So they do what Everbridge does.
So Everbridge, it's like Kleenex.
Exactly. Band-Aid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Adhesive, sticky adhesive
device. Thing.
Yeah, can't even think. But yeah, so that's what ours is called. What LETA, the Larimer Emergency Telephone Authority, uses is Everbridge.
Yeah, so you'll get those notifications if you're signed up for it. If not, please do, because do there's up. Circumstances like that that happen. We had to use Everbridge for the fires that happened last year. For I'm sure the flood that happened years ago. So that's something that you should totally sign up for, just because you think nothing's going to happen to you. Well, things have happened in which we've had to use it. So
yes, exactly.
It's a good tool to have. So calling the police department and asking, oh, what's going on? Am I safe? Like, I'll tell you, like, I can't tell you what's going on, but lock your doors and windows. If an officer doesn't come to your door, just shelter in place, essentially. I'm not going to say shelter in place because that sounds a little harsh. But just stay inside. And I mean, if your neighborhood is blocked off and you can't get home.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do to make that accessible for you to go to. Like, I, again, understand that sucks. Like, what are you going to do? You just got off work. You need to go home. You need to let your dog out. However, there's a situation in which police or fire or whatever's going on is like, no one can be in here right now because there's something going on and it's for a reason.
Right.
We don't just block off streets because it's fun.
No. Exigent circumstances.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So keep that in mind. And calling us to ask us those questions about like, oh, what's going on? I'm just curious. Like, we're busy, especially when a situation like that's going on. Like, we're sending pages, we're calling supervisors, we're calling this, we're calling that. So we're very busy when things like that happen, especially if it's later at night. There's less of us working. So it's like tying up a phone line in which we could be answering other 911s, answering calls for like the tow company that's coming in, or like people that are involved with the situation. Now we're tying up a line in which I could have been helping somebody else.
Right.
So that's it.
Yes.
Along those lines, if you're calling 911 to get a phone number, like some people call 911, they're just like, oh, it's not an emergency. Can I get the non-emergent line?
Mm-hmm.
I can't transfer you from a 911 to a non-emergency line. I can just transfer 911 to 911. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not made to be like 411 where it's just like, oh, you need that? Yeah. Done. Yeah,
there you go.
No, 911 is for emergencies. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have emergency, I guarantee you you're calling on a cell phone that has connection to the internet and or some type of searching device to which you can look up the non-emergent number, which is literally, I'm just going to tell you the phone number and disconnect because we're tying up an emergency line. And if you do that too much, like we've said before, that's 911 abuse, could be ticketed. So just remember, you have resources. Let's keep those in mind.
Yes.
Then also, like, people will call 911 to get the number for the ER because they don't want an ambulance, but they want to know if it's like a serious situation.
Right.
So it's like, I am not a doctor. I cannot tell you that information. If you don't want an ambulance, call the ER.
And there's Ask a Nurse.
Yeah, or that.
Yeah.
So, again, try to use your resources. I think people get confused as to what it is that 911 is. I think they think emergency, and they think this is an emergency, which anything medical to me is an emergency. So if you have an issue and you think you need to go to a doctor, but you're like, maybe it's not, maybe I just need to do this. We are not doctors. We literally dispatch for police, fire, and medical. So if you do not need any of those services, you have, like, there's other resources that are available.
Right.
And we aren't that.
Right. And kind of along those same lines, if you call and say, can you let the ER know that I'm coming and I'm going to be speeding through town? I can't do that either. Mm-hmm. What I can do is send you an ambulance if you pull over, and they will be able to be the ones who speed through town
right.
to get you to the hospital. But keeping in mind that the ER at hospitals are ready for
everything.
So letting them know that an emergency is coming doesn't
help
expedite
them.
Anything.
Yeah. And also, don't do that. Drive safely, drive carefully, because we've had times where officers have pulled people over that are having a medical emergency because they're driving recklessly or they're driving too fast, and they end up asking for an ambulance to come respond out to them. Like, I don't want to put you in a situation in which you feel like you're going to pass out, but you're like, I don't want to pay for an ambulance. And then a car accident happens. That's not what we want. We want everybody to be safe. And if that means sending an ambulance to your house or to your car because you feel faint and you pull over, that's totally fine. However, we can't get you a police escort to the hospital. We can't. Right. We just can't do that.
Right.
Police are there for criminal activity, for community policing. Unfortunately, escorts to the hospital does not fall under that.
Right.
Also, calling 911 because the police department you need is closed, and I put closed in quotes. Police departments don't close. Like, the location itself probably closes.
Right.
Like, the building, mm-hmm. but there's people there that are still answering phones because police services are 24/7.
Right.
So somebody has to be there 24/7 because the officers are there 24/7. So it's like, they're not closed. I don't know what number you're calling that you think they're closed, or like if you just think it's after 5 o'clock, so now it's closed and I just need to call 911.
Right.
Every agency is different, obviously, but for us, like, we still answer those non-emergent lines at 2 a.m. like we would any other time.
Right.
So, if your police department, if you're calling the police department and you're getting a voice message, try to look, because sometimes these smaller police departments are manned by a larger agency, especially after hours. They mm-hmm. might not have somebody there 24/7. However, the dispatcher that would have answered your call if you called the police department's number might be working for a larger center.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look for who dispatches for such and such police department, you'll probably find the correct phone number in which to reach them, quote, after hours.
Right.
So.
Yes.
Yes. If the power goes out, as I said before, we dispatch for police, fire, and medical. I have nothing to do with the electricity. Nothing. That is with your power company, in which you set that up when you moved there. So you have to get a hold of your power company. If you don't know who your power company is, maybe you live in an apartment and it's paid through your rent.
Mm-hmm.
Contact your landlord. Mm-hmm. They're in charge of all of that. I have nothing to do with the power company.
Right.
If you see sparks coming off of a box, that is something to do with me. Like, that is something I can send a fire truck for. But unfortunately, if your power is out, there's nothing that we can do to make that better. Like, the fire department can't just turn on your electricity. Like, that is something that the power company has to go through. Something that, there was a power outage a few weeks ago, and if there's a medical reason that happens because the power's out, say, like, there's like a respirator machine that is on mm-hmm. electricity and is no longer working and you need an ambulance for that, please call for those things.
Right.
If you're just needing your power back on, or you're calling to let us know the power is out, we probably already know
mm-hmm.
because people have already called, but also I have nothing to do with that.
Right.
So, PSA.
Yes.
That's what this is a PSA, all of it. Oh, it's just a PSA. Same thing goes with, like, water, gas. If you feel sick, if there's gas leaking into your house, please call us, because the fire truck will get there to at least help shut down the gas. But again, that's through the gas company to get that fixed. They're there at least to respond faster than the gas company if it's something extreme like that. Something new that is happening that I think I will let Erica touch on, because she did a little bit more research on this.
Sure. She got a thing in the mail.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys know, but our former President Trump did sign, I think, like a bill or something, whatever the political term is for it, for an emergency number to be designated to National Suicide Prevention and Mental Health. It's like a crisis line. So that number is designated to 988. That starts July 16th of 2022, so next year. So that is something that is happening pretty quickly, and I think it's an extraordinary resource. Yeah. I think that's going to be really helpful. As always, you can always call 911 if somebody's life is an immediate bad situation,
mm-hmm.
Immediate threat of loss of life. But 988 will really help out with those people that really need it. So because of that, if you're in the Larimer County area, again, this is specific for Colorado.
Specific for Colorado in the 970 area code.
Yeah.
You are going to have to include that in all calls. So our number is 667-2151. Right now you can pick up the phone, dial that, you'll get us just fine. Starting on April 24th, and maybe this is in the future or in the past, on April 24th, this had to, you had to start, they suggested you begin dialing the 10 digits. So 970-667-2151. So for local calls. But on October 24th, 2021, you have to dial the 10 digits. So on April 24th, you'd be fine, and you could, if you didn't include 970, you'd still get wherever you're trying to go with that area code. But on October 24th, if you don't use 970 to dial those local calls, it says a recording will instruct you to hang up and dial again. So it won't be able to connect those calls. So 970 for everything. If you're listening to this, whenever it is, just make sure you're including it if you haven't done that already. Otherwise, you'll get a recording to try again with the 970 area code. And that's because the 988 is just affects that area code.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just a little heads up for that.
And all my stuff, like, saved in my phone is, I think, saved with that automatically, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, just, like, new numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that of anything that I've dialed. It's not even like I call pizza places anymore.
I know, right? It's all online.
Right.
But that won't affect, like, the three-digit numbers, like 411, 211. It's not going to affect that. So as long as if it's a seven-digit phone number, you're now going to have to do the 10 digits.
Right.
Essentially.
Yes.
So then, lastly, we just wanted to put a little tidbit in here about how to support your local 911 centers, just because I feel like we are the ghosts of emergency responders.
Figments of your imagination.
Yeah. Definitely. We often get forgotten or overlooked, which is fine. It's part of the job.
Right.
But at the same time, it's kind of nice to feel that support from the community. Mm-hmm. And one way that we're feeling that support right now is a Senate bill that's going around, which by the time this comes out, I'm not sure if it would have passed or not passed. Or somewhere still in the working. But there's one that's called the 911 Saves Act, and that essentially will classify 911 operators as first responders. Mm-hmm. It'll give us those resources that fire, police, and medical get access to all the time, gives us those benefits. It'll give us the title, which is really just kind of great in its own, because mm-hmm. currently we're labeled as, like, secretaries.
Clerical workers.
Yeah. So, and we do more than just clerical work. So hopefully you guys can see that through this podcast, we've made it pretty clear that we do more than just take phone calls. We deliver babies. We do CPR. Like, secretaries don't do that. So mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah.
And if there's other acts or bills that are coming up, I'm sure we'll post them on our Instagram. This specific act I've already posted about. So it's just good to keep up to date. Oh my gosh. Keep up to date about what's going on in your city mm-hmm. and what's going on in your county, because it affects you, even though you may or may not know it affects you.
Yeah.
So, and it'll also give us the funding, I think. But it comes at no extra cost. Yeah, I guess that's it, guys. We might have to do a couple more of these if we get any more random ideas, or if you have any suggestions, like we talked about the one suggestion that we've gotten. So, yeah, that's what we're here for. This was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So
random.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at HowTo911Podcast. You can send us those suggestions to our email, which is HowTo911Podcast@cityofloveland.org. And then you can find us on Facebook at Loveland Emergency Communications Center. And we are also on YouTube, HowTo911Podcast. That's it. I hope you guys enjoyed. Until then, know where you are, know your phone number, and tell us exactly what happened.